welcome to the latest edition of the Mimiverse Monthly Audiocast. I am your host, writer-director Christopher R. Mim, and I have to ask, are you there? Are you listening? I sure hope so, because, again, as I often say, what would be the point of doing this if you aren't? So, again, I may sound a little different, but you may be like, I swear I've heard him sound like this before. It's because I am, again, recording this in a car, because my kids are curling. I've recorded episodes in the past that I have to do in my car while my kids are busy doing curling stuff. Normally, it's because one of them is practicing and I'm just sitting outside in the car while they practice. This time, they're actually doing a tournament, and it's between games, and I have a little bit of downtime here. They're in the curling club being social with the wife in there, and I'm out here just trying to get away from people because I can only take it for so long, especially sports people. And I'm hanging out, trying to get some fresh air and get this done because I'm behind the eight ball like hell. Again, because I'm constantly busy with, I have kids, they're teenagers now, they do sports. We're always busy, and it's winter, and they're curlers. Curling is a winter sport, lots of stuff happening in the winter. So here I am, sitting in the car, talking to you, because I needed to take advantage of the time, because I only have so much, and it's not enough. So this episode might end up being a bit shorter. I was able to get the Atomic Tales done, so there is an Atomic Tales at the end of this. I don't know, based on how much time I have, because I'm really far behind on everything. I always try to get the episodes out by the 5th, and that is a personal mandate. It's not a requirement, but it's a standard. And it's a standard I try to maintain because I know the moment I let it slip is the moment it starts to slip even more. Because once I give myself permission to let it slide, it's just going to keep sliding. Because that's the kind of person I know I am. As soon as I start to let something go, it starts to slip farther and farther away. And that was my problem before I even started making movies, it's discipline, right? And I didn't have any before I started making movies, really. Especially when it came to big projects like is required to make a feature. It's a multi-month, year-long commitment. And everyone involved has to be committed or it doesn't get done. And that is sometimes some of the most difficult parts of making movies or doing anything that requires commitment and long-term things. You have to set standards for yourself and stick to them unless they're ridiculous. And sometimes you do that where you get a little ridiculous and set standards that are impossible. And then you constantly disappoint yourself. But if you can find a way to remain disciplined and set your goals and stick to them, having a few personal requirements like trying to get your podcast / newsletter out by the 5th of every month so it doesn't slip too far into the month, that's a good one. If you're like, well, if my movie I want to make isn't perfect, I won't release it, that's stupid. Because nothing is perfect and you will never release anything. And I think sometimes people do that as a way to never have to finish things because if it's not perfect, well, then why would I release it? Why would I let anyone see it? I'll be embarrassed. Well, it's more embarrassing to waste your life never getting anything done that you want to get done. And this is my way of motivating you. If there's something you want to do, frickin' do it. There's no reason not to. I have spent damn near 2 decades doing something I've always wanted to do, to the point that I almost get sick of it because I do it so much. Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have if you're a person who's like, I've always wanted to learn to play the piano, or I want to write a book or whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to get to the point like, I learned how to play the piano, now I'm so good, I'm actually kind of sick of playing. Wouldn't that be nice? Or, I always wanted to write a book and now I've written so many, I don't even know what the point is anymore. Because honestly, there are days where I'm like that with the movies. What is the point anymore? You know, I've put out so many, and sometimes it feels like, why hasn't this grown? Why hasn't this gotten bigger? Why isn't it enough? I think it's that drive, that ambition that drives you to do it in the first place. You want to create something, and it's very hard to create something and not also want everyone to love it. The truth is, not everyone is going to love what you do. Especially if it's art-related. Art is subjective. What you like, I may not like. What I like, you may not like. What I make, you may not like. But you're listening to my podcast, so either you think I have a cool voice, or I don't know, you're weird and you just like listening to me talk or something. I don't know. The point is, if there's something you want to do in your life, you should probably do it because, I don't know, you might die tomorrow. And that's harsh to just say you might die tomorrow, but you might. You don't know. People die all the time. You might get sick. You might become paralyzed. You might become incapacitated, disabled in some way. And whatever it is that you wanted to do may now become maybe not impossible, but a hell of a lot harder. And then you'll regret the things you didn't do. I don't know where this introspection is coming or why I'm getting so philosophical this morning. Perhaps it's because it's only 10:30 a.m. and I've been up since 4:30 a.m. and I normally go to bed at 4:30 a.m. See, that's the thing about these curling tournaments. They always seem to start really early. And me being the dad I want to be, I'm there for every game. I'm there to cheer my kids on. But that means yesterday I had to get up at 6:30 a.m. So I ended up, in essence, jet lagged because I had to go to bed early and try to sleep, and then I could barely sleep, and then I had to get up at 6:30. We got to the curling club yesterday at like 7:30 in the morning, and we didn't leave until 8:30 p.m., and I got home and immediately fell asleep on the couch. 20 minutes later, I woke back up like, what am I doing? And I went to bed. But then everything gets all upside down because I ended up going to bed before 10 o'clock. And then suddenly I've slept 7 hours and it's 4 a.m. So I wake up. But then what am I supposed to do with myself? I don't need to be back at the curling club with the kids until 7:30. So I toss and turn, stare at the ceiling, think about all the things I've done wrong in my life. Think about all the things I've done right. Think about all the disappointments and the things I wish I could have done better. Analyze and reanalyze everything I've ever done right and or wrong. And then suddenly the alarm's going off and I got to go drink some coffee and hope I make it. So here it is, 10:30 in the morning, and I've been up for 6 hours already when normally I'm asleep. And I'm totally thrown off, and apparently that makes me philosophical. Don't know why, it just does. Anyway, so here's what's going on in the Mimiverse right now. I am almost done with the WOD. I've been talking about how fast this thing has been coming together in previous episodes, especially talking about how the editing process has not been quite as difficult as it normally is with more straightforward narrative feature, because it's a lot of interviews, which are very easy to edit if you film them right. And so I'm kind of ripping through things pretty quickly. And I'm down to one last set of scenes, which will take about an hour. I just have to get it scheduled, which has been a bit of a thing, and it's kind of driving me a little nuts. And maybe I'll talk about that next month. We'll see how that shakes out in the next couple weeks. Let's just say I'm getting a little annoyed by one of the actors. I'm not going to say who, and I don't know if I'm making that up because it has been difficult to schedule them. So like I'm starting to take it personally because they're not getting back to me, which I think is the most annoying thing in the world. And I think I'm going to try to do better to always get back to people in a timely manner, in a timely manner. I find myself getting annoyed when I'm like, hey, does this day work for you? Nothing. And then I ask again, how about this day? Nothing. I've learned over the years that no one is completely irreplaceable. If someone drags their feet or acts weird or, you know, says they're interested, but then doesn't show that they're interested in being something, I'll walk away from them. I've done that many times. Because it's not worth crawling over broken glass just to make someone's ego happy or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they're mad at me, or maybe there's something else going on in their life I don't know about. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here. I don't want to just assume, oh, it's all about me. Well, maybe something's going on with them and they're making it hard. However, I've also found a way to rewrite their scenes and the quality won't suffer at all. So next month I may explain how I've changed things, if I have to change things, or I may be like, hey, I'm done. That guy came through and we're all set. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm literally an hour away from being done with principal photography and about 2 weeks away from being done with the edit, especially once I have the final footage I need. Once I have it, it's going to be done by, say, March 1st. I mean, we're talking by next month. I'll have the basic first draft edit done, and from there I can then start refining it. And then I think with this one, because it is so different, because it is much more accessible to modern audiences, I think I may try to do the film festival circuit a little bit. That said, when I do that, the only way I can do that is I'm going to have to maybe do a little Kickstarter or something to cover the expenses of doing film festivals, because here's this ugly little secret most people don't know if you're not involved in independent film. You see all these films out there that get accepted to all these film festivals. The truth is, film festivals are kind of a scam, except for the big ones, which you can always trust, and those are the ones that you know their names, like Sundance or Cannes or whatever, you know, the big name ones. You can usually enter those for free because they have sponsors, they have name recognition behind them, you know, they're like the Tribeca Film Festival was what started by Robert De Niro, so it's got cred, right? It's got street cred. Other ones, the small ones, they're a bit of a scam. And I learned it very specifically years and years ago. For about 3 years, I did a film festival called the Twin Cities Underground Film Festival. Josh Craig and I ran it. And I started it because other film festivals weren't really giving my movie, The Monster Phantom Lake in particular, much love because it was cheesy and black and white. And I don't know, it was just, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But what I learned is, running my own film festival, is that it's really more about who you know or who you're connected to or who your dad is. You learn very quickly that knowing people is more important than having talent sometimes. And I'm not saying that I have so much talent to burn and I deserved everyone, you know, to be kissing my butt. I'm not saying that at all. I know my movies are either an acquired taste or you just kind of have to get it or be into what I do. And if you don't, I kind of don't care anymore. Okay, you don't. I'm not going to fight with anybody about that, and I'm not going to bend over backwards to convince you that my movies are worth your time. If you like them, you like them, and I like you. If you don't like them, and I'm okay with that too, and I may like you as well, because whether or not you like my movies has nothing to do with what I think of people. Anyway, so what I learned firsthand running a film festival is it really does come down to the people you know and what you can do for them. Entering my movies into film festivals, it was always kind of funny. It's like the more I could offer someone who is running these, especially the smaller film festivals, the greater the chances would be that they would pick up my film to show it at the film festival. I tested this once where I picked a film festival I sort of knew I wasn't a good fit for, but then I also offered on top of that access to my film festival's database of people who were willing to enter their films. And here's the thing about film festivals, especially small ones, you have to pay an entry fee, and it is absolutely no guarantee that your film will be played. So you could end up spending hundreds, even thousands of dollars on entry fees and never be picked up. And then you're just out that money. Now, small film festivals use that money to fund their festivals and, you know, pay for the time of the person who has to review your film, but you have no guarantee that they're actually watching your movie. And that's part of the scam of some of them. And there are some fly-by-night ones that really do rip people off. But anyway, so I was running Twin Cities Underground Film Festival. I was trying to make it above board, and part of the mission was to give films that may have been overlooked a second chance. Because I felt like my movies were always being overlooked because they were dismissed outright as black and white trash that no one wants to watch, or they didn't star Shia LaBeouf or something. And so I made a point that all the movies people would submit, I would watch every single one, no matter what. And I would make sure that I would pick things based solely on, I guess, more heart than talent sometimes. It was like, if I feel like a person really put their all into a movie, and maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was entertaining, I would pick it. That only lasted about 3 years because it became a lot of work. And so you start saying, well, that's why people have to pay entry fees, because a small event like mine, I mean, that's a lot of time that you're volunteering and there is no money to be made even on the back end. It's like, well, how much spare time do you have when you're also trying to make movies and you have like a wife and kids? It's pretty hard to do. But I did test a theory, which is about the whole like who you know business or what you can give them. And I entered my movie into a film festival, and I won't tell you which. But then I made a point to sort of ingratiate myself with the people running it and said, hey, I run this film festival. I have a list of people who you can come after and see if they'll be interested in your film festival. And there were totally different types of festivals, but they bit. And suddenly they played my movie. And it was like, you just proved my point, because my movie did not fit in with your film festival at all. But you were willing to scratch my back because I was willing to help you out. And so that's when it started realizing it's all like a scam. It's not about the movies. It's about what can you do for me? Who are you connected to that I can then jump on your shoulders and take advantage of your connections? And so I got very disillusioned by film festivals. It became a waste of money. I mean, I'd start sending out even my best films to film festivals, and you're spending all this money, and then maybe you get in one. And I got into the Famous Monsters of Filmland Film Festival. They did like once. They played the giant spider, and it won an award. That was pretty cool. But at the same time, like, I didn't get an actual, like, even certificate or anything. So it was like, wow, I won an award, but I have no real proof other than they told me I did. I guess I still have that email somewhere, but it's like, you couldn't at least, I mean, you're the Famous Monsters of Filmland. You couldn't at least send out a certificate I can put on my wall. It's a little weird, but it was cool to win, right? This took a turn and a tangent here. So I guess it's a big deal for me to want to submit the WAD to film festivals. I think it shows that I believe it may have some crossover appeal with average folks, because it is mostly in color, because it is a mockumentary, because it is pretty dang funny. I think it works, and I think everyone does a great job in it. So I don't know. Part of me wants to mix things up a little bit, because I'm coming up on 20 years here, and every year seems to get a little harder, whereas it feels like they should be getting easier, but they're not. That actually makes me a little nuts. And I fight with that sometimes. And that was definitely something I was thinking about at 4:30 this morning as I was staring at the ceiling. You fight for something for this long. Why does it feel like I'm going backwards at times? But I don't know. It's weird. It's like the more recognizable you become, the more complacent people become to it. So the longer I make movies, the more people are like, oh, another one by this guy. You know what I mean? The excitement is gone. I suppose it's like any long-term relationship. You got to keep the magic alive somehow, or else it fizzles out. Some days it's a slog. Some days it's difficult. Some days it's really fun. But then that also, I feel, sometimes gives me permission to be like, do I want to make a trilogy of kids' movies with my kids? Yep. Will everybody like it? Nope. Do I care? Not really. Because, you know, they always say you got to do things for the love. Something like this you really have to do for the love, because there ain't no money in it. But if you love it enough, it's one of the most rewarding things in the world, and that's what makes it awesome. And if you're not happy doing it, then what is the point? Then it becomes cookie cutter corporate crap, right? If you're just doing something for the money, it loses the magic. It's like a conveyor belt, right? It just kind of comes out of the factory. It's exactly the same as the next thing, and it becomes noise in a world that is becoming increasingly noisy. But that excess noise of the modern world kind of also makes it harder for weird stuff to break through. It's a constant balance, push and pull. And if you're like, what in hell is this guy talking about this episode? I told you, I'm very tired and feeling philosophical.
Quick editorial note. I mentioned that a lot of film festivals are scams. I want to say that not every film festival is a scam. There are a lot of people out there doing good by their film festivals, and I'd like to mention one in particular that has been really nice to me and the Mimiverse, and that is the Lake Charles Film Festival down in Lake Charles, Louisiana. They're always very generous, and the guy who runs it, a guy named Patrick Bennett, the nicest guy in the world, he really creates a very, very cool, very unique event that is worth going to if you're nearby. In fact, I think I may be a guest there this year. And I'm not saying they're cool simply because they make me a guest, or that they once gave me an award. It's because they're actually just cool. It's a cool event, and the guy who runs it's awesome. So I wanted to say that real quick.
So the WAD is almost done. Once I finish it, I would love to submit it to film festivals. It's going to be dependent on budget. Hopefully folks out there are maybe willing to help make that a reality. We'll see once it's done. If I actually do it, I'll maybe do a little Kickstarter or something just to get it out to some festivals. And then we'll premiere it eventually in the summer, hopefully. The other thing is, of course, if I do hit the film festival route, if it's a bigger one, sometimes they want your film to be a premiere. So that may be a factor, but I don't anticipate that being a factor unless I get into something like Sundance, which I'll tell you right now, we're probably not playing at Sundance. Part of the reason Sundance is awesome is they have no entry fees because they don't have to, because they got big names behind it that can get advertisers interested and money comes in. I mean, Sundance at this point is basically just Hollywood. So it's a bigger deal than Gasparilla Film Festival in Florida. Anyway, so yeah, the movie's almost done. As far as what comes next, I don't know. I have some ideas. I have a few crazy ideas that I might want to do. I have one idea that is absolutely bonkers, but I'm not going to talk about that this month. We'll talk about it next month after I finish the WAD and see where I'm at. But we'll see. I have some insane ideas and I have some typical ideas you would expect from me. But we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, that's all that's really going on in the Mimiverse right now. I guess it would be important for me to remind you that if you have yet to contribute to the WAD, now would be your chance to do it. Or if you have contributed and want to contribute again, or if you're just interested in making sure that there's money flowing in for the eventual hopeful film festival push, you could always do that. But I'm not going to be pushy on that. I don't like being overly pushy. I will always mention, hey, by the way, you can contribute. Give me money so I can make more movies. Although sometimes there are days where I'm like, I need money or else please help. But yeah, I mean, I understand people can do what they do and they do what they can. And I'm always very appreciative of anyone who helps out in whatever way they can. If you ever have been interested in like being involved in making my movies more than just say throwing 20 bucks at me, there may be opportunity for you to be involved in a much deeper capacity in the next one if I choose to do the craziest of the ideas that are floating around in my head. But we shall see. Again, I just don't know. Anyway, so bad news this month. I do not honestly have time to record and edit an oral history episode. I'm running out of time here, and I still have more curling to watch today, and then I have to edit this and get it out to you basically by tomorrow. And so an oral history will have to wait, which is unfortunate because there's some good stuff coming up. But also, we got time, right? The history is still unfolding as we speak, so I think we'll be okay. But yes, this month there won't be an oral history of the Mimiverse. Instead, we're going to jump right into Atomic Tales, and I apologize for that. I really tried to fit everything in, but it didn't with everything going on. I feel like I'm just busier and busier every day, which is crazy. I feel like things should be getting easier, but they aren't. They're just getting harder as the kids get older. But I know that this is temporary. Eventually, they grow up, they move out, they move on, and suddenly I find myself with lots of free time. For as used to the crazy as I am, I don't know that I want it to necessarily go away. I don't like the silence. I don't like the quiet sometimes. But then that would free up my mind for more creative pursuits. So maybe it's a win-win. I don't know. But that's still years away. So for now, I'm just trying to keep making movies and keep moving forward and trying to make this work. The WAD is awesome, and it'll be done sooner rather than later, as long as I can get that damn last couple scenes filmed. But again, that's just a matter of having a heart-to-heart with a certain person and being like, hey, do you really want to do this? If not, it's okay. I've actually already rewritten it so that you can get out of the commitment, and that's okay. Just tell me. And if I can't get a hold of this person, I'll just do it and assume their silence means they don't want to. Because sometimes that's just easier too. I don't have time to hold your hand through everything, dang it. What can you do? I keep moving forward and I don't have any choice because I want this dang movie to come out. I want to finish it because it's really awesome. I really like it. I think you'll like it. I hope you'll like it. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, but my movies, by and large, are not everyone's cup of tea, and that's cool by me. Might be cool by you, too. Maybe that's why you like them. I don't know. It's a pretty big catalog, and it keeps growing, and I'd like to keep growing it. So we do what we do, however we can. This has been a crazy episode, I know, and I feel like once I sit down to edit it, I'm going to have to be like, yeah, maybe I have to re-record it because none of this makes sense. Listen to me ramble. I apologize for the shorter episode, but there's not a lot to catch you up on other than, I mean, I could totally go super short and be like, hey, welcome to the Mimiverse Monthly Audiocast. I'm almost done with the WAD. Talk to you next month. Contribute. I mean, that's kind of the episode in a nutshell. But yeah, contribute. Go to saintu4.com. Get your name in the credits. It's $20. It's not bad. Be on the lookout for any announcements for anything new. I'm not announcing anything right now because I haven't settled on what's next, but I always like to finish a movie before I do that, or else without trying to maintain discipline like that, I will get lost in my own ideas where I'll just become idea guy. And I used to be idea guy, and that's all I did. I had the ideas, but not the actual follow through. Well, now I have the follow through. Part of that is the discipline of like, don't start anything new until you finish the other thing. And I have to finish the other thing first, and that's the what. So now, why don't we go right to Atomic Tales?
Stephen D. Sullivan and Saint Euphoria present Atomic Tales, stories of science, mystery, and excitement. This episode features the latest installment in our fantastic original series, Strange Invaders. Tonight, Agents 3 and 4 head south to investigate mysterious goings-on in the bayou and get more than they bargained for in Snapgator Lake. Join us now as we present another in our continuing series of
Atomic Tales.
I coughed out a mouthful of swampy water and shook the hair from my eyes as I surfaced. I glanced in all directions, looking for my companions, and praying my Colt 1911s would still work after getting drenched. The small boat we'd been crossing Snapgator Lake in lay nearby, capsized. It looked like its keel might have been broken, and God only knew whether it would stay afloat if we managed to right it. Agent 4 came up next, sputtering water too, about 3 yards away.
Rocky, what in hell just happened?
Damned if I know, Alec. The lake wasn't deep, and we'd been navigating fairly close to the shore, but I was still treading water when I drew one gun. Where's our prisoner? Four looked around and shook his head.
I need to rescue my gear.
Our backpacks were floating nearby, along with other flotsam from the skiff. Four's looked in danger of quickly submerging. He always carried an infernal device or two close at hand.
Do you think she caused this?
I don't see how she could have. Alec Boom Boom Murphy scowled.
You never know what tricks a commie spy might have up her sleeve.
Just then, our prisoner emerged from the lake, 8 yards away, coughing and spitting bog water.
Help!
I cursed silently. Naturally, she'd have trouble swimming because of the handcuffs. Four swore aloud, and we quickly swam to her aid while still keeping an eye out for whatever had overturned our skiff. We'd come to Louisiana to investigate the disappearances of local boaters and fishermen. And of course, reports of strange lights in the sky. Last thing we needed was to end up missing ourselves.
Thanks.
Soviet spy Tanya Ruhoth gasped for breath between coughs.
Now, please, uncuff me so I can swim.
Alec and I exchanged a skeptical glance. Tanya, in her guise as reporter Tammy Rubens, had been giving the U.S. Science Bureau the runaround for a while. She'd slipped through our fingers more than once. Agent 4 shot her a sly grin.
Sure. Just tell us how you capsized our boat.
Are you crazy? I didn't do that. We need to get out of here.
Her denial seemed frightened enough that I believed her. We can figure out what's going on once we reach shore. With Alec and I towing the Russian, we all splashed toward the boggy lakeside. But suddenly, with a thundering hiss, our capsized boat surged out of the water and broke into splinters. And this had started as such a normal day. Snapgator Lake lay 20 miles from anywhere in the heart of the Louisiana Bayou, southeast of Lafayette and southwest of Baton Rouge. A lot of us at the Bureau had hoped things would quiet down after the capture of Dr. M, but no such luck. The giant crab attack just after New Year's proved there were still earwigs lurking in the woodpile. Despite a lot of false leads, our job remained to root out and solve such problems before too many people got hurt. With that in mind, Four and I hired a swamp buggy to drop us at the backcountry cabin of Luke Mossbach, who knew some of the vanished fishermen. It was only a short hike from the landing spot to Mossbach's cabin, but the humidity plastered our clothes to our skin, and the buzz of mosquitoes and cicadas filled our ears. The warm January air smelled of swamp water, reeds, and cypress. Imagine our surprise to find another interested party had gotten there first. Mr. Mossbach looked shocked when we aimed our guns at his visitor. Agent Four's stern gaze left no doubt that he'd shoot if he had to.
Tanya Ruhoff, also known as Tammy Rubens, and numerous other aliases. I'm arresting you by the power vested in me by the United States government and the USSB.
Now looky here,
Mossbach protested.
I may not be keen on reporters, but I still got rights in Louisiana. This is America after all.
True, I replied, but your friend here isn't an American. She's a Soviet agent, and we've been on her trail for a long time. I'm Agent Suzanne, and this is Agent Alec. I flashed my government ID. Cuff her, Alec. Tanya looked more annoyed than worried.
Is this really necessary?
Four pulled her hands behind her back and slapped on the bracelets.
After the way you've slipped custody before? Hell yes it is.
I could hardly blame him for treating her rough.
She said she was a reporter looking into folks disappearing.
Mossbach objected. She's fooled a lot of people, Mr. Mossbach, I explained. It's her standard cover story.
Yeah, but she's probably just field-checking her communist handiwork.
Four ratcheted the cuffs extra tight. Tanya squawked.
Easy, boy. I've told your people before that I'm just trying to find out what's going on for my government, the same way you are for yours.
Mossbach snarled and spat onto the soggy ground.
Better dead than red, I say.
We still want to interview you, Mr. Mossbach, I said. But we need to get our captive into custody as quickly as possible. She's tricky. I cursed the fact that I'd told the swamp boat not to return for us until sundown, figuring we'd check the area after our interview. Now, I didn't want to give Tanya that much time to escape. What's the quickest way out of here? The old-timer rubbed his balding head.
Well, you could borrow my skiff and take it across Snapgator Lake, then portage down to the Pigeon, that's only a 100-yard carry, and then take that south to Bloody Bayou and a trading post at the fort. They ought to have an airboat there for you, unless old Edward's gone hunting.
Sounds good to me.
Four urged Tanya toward the ramshackle dock we spotted, through the cypresses on the nearby lake shore. The Russian grumbled uncomfortably. I shook the swamp man's hand. Thanks, Mr. Mossbach. We'll return your boat as soon as we can. Any tips for operating it? He laughed.
Just put your back into it and roll.
I see. Any trouble with alligators in the lake or that portage?
Nah, no gators to speak of in this lake, just turtles. And skeeters. Snapgator is local talk for alligator snapping turtles. They shouldn't bother you none as long as you stay in my boat.
The water erupted in a gout of slimy spray as the thing that had smashed our boat to flinders emerged. A snapping turtle bigger than a dump truck. Green algae and khaki weeds draped its armored body. Its jaws stretched wide enough to bite a grown man in half. It smelled like rotting garbage. Probably the thing had denuded its local food supply before turning toward human prey. We'd gotten lucky, though. The turtle must have believed the skiff was a rival, because if it had come for us, it would have finished us easily. Instead, it went after the skiff's remains again while we waded ashore. Of course, once nothing remained of Mossbach's boat, we'd be next up. That terrifying prospect in mind, we ran down the soggy lake shore as fast as possible, dogged by a buzzing horde of mosquitoes.
Uncuff me,
Tanya pleaded. With her hands still secured behind her back, every false step threatened to send her into the swamp water. Four ignored her and eyed the boat wreckage floating nearby.
I need my pack, if I can reach it.
He didn't have to finish the thought. I'd seen Alec get out of plenty of bad situations using just his wits and stowed equipment.
Uncuff me! Uncuff me! Give me a gun and I'll distract it.
Four and I exchanged a worried glance as the giant turtle finished making sure the skiff was dead and turned hateful yellow eyes our way. I fished out the keys and uncuffed Tanya. No guns, though.
Here, take this.
Four handed her one of the boat oars that had washed up nearby.
Seriously?
Tanya glared at us as the Snapgator surged toward shore. Four smirked.
Go to it.
Tanya cursed and ran in the opposite direction from us, waving the oar like a spear.
Hey, ugly. This way. Over here.
As the turtle gave an ear-splitting hiss and veered to follow her, Four splashed in after his pack, which was now nearly submerged, 7 yards from shore.
Help!
Tanya screamed. She brandished her makeshift spear at the turtle's face, but it merely grabbed the oar and snapped it in half with one bite. A low, angry rumble emitted from its monstrous throat. I took careful aim, praying my pistols had survived their dunking. Not all of my shots hit the Snapgator's baleful yellow eyes, but enough struck home to half blind it. The monster took a final snap at Tanya, who dived into the water to avoid getting bisected, and then turned toward me. Fury blazed in its remaining eye, and the shallow water whipped into a white froth as it rushed toward me. I retreated, trying not to trip over the tangled roots crowding the shoreline, firing as I went. Jammed! I turned and ran, the monster hot on my heels. A shot rang out, and Four's voice called,
"Hey, stupid! Over here!"
The turtle's enormous head turned around, and Alec threw his backpack down the creature's gaping mouth. The concussion knocked both of us off our feet and into the swampy water. Guts, shattered shell, and rotten-smelling chunks of turtle meat rained down around us. And when the smoke from the explosion cleared, nothing left but turtle soup. I rubbed my aching head. Between giant crabs and monster turtles, I really needed to find a different diet.
You okay, Suzanne?
Alec offered me a hand up. Fine. You?
Fine.
He quickly scanned the sea.
Looks like we lost our friend, though. Again.
I frowned. She's got more lives than a cat. And we still don't know whether she's responsible for all this. Agent Four shrugged.
With the Reds, who can tell?
This has been an original story of Strange Invaders, part of our ongoing series of
Atomic Tales,
brought to you by Saint Euphoria Productions. Tonight's episode, Snapgator Lake, was written by Stephen D. Sullivan. It was produced and edited by Christopher R. Mim, who also played Luke Mosback, the Bayou Man, and read by Rachel Grubb, who also played Agent 3, Suzanne Rocky Rockford, and featured Elliot Mim as Agent 4, Alec Boom Boom Murphy, and Danielle Gerlader, a.k.a. horror host Penny Dreadful, as Soviet Agent Tanya Ruhoff. Be sure to tune in next month for more Atomic Tales. Please support the films of Christopher R. Mim at SaintEuphoria.com and the work of Stephen D. Sullivan via his Patreon at PaySteve.com. Join the conversation at the Monster Conservancy at SaveMonsters.com. All elements of this episode are copyright 2023 by their creators and may not be reproduced or reused without permission. Atomic Tales and Strange Invaders are trademarks of Stephen D. Sullivan, all rights reserved. This is the Saint Euphoria Audiocast Network.
Okay, thank you so much for listening. Again, sorry for the short episode, but it is what it is. I gotta prioritize certain things, and sadly other priorities have taken priority over getting out an episode of an oral history of the Mimiverse, but I promise you it'll be back next month, because the curling thing kind of starts to lessen a little bit. Not a lot, because this is really curling season, so the kids are busy. But I'll get back to it. Just this weekend really got away from me, and I don't want to slip, because the moment I slip is the moment it all slips away. And I refuse to do that to you or myself. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, as I always say, be good. But if you can't do that, be good at it. I will talk to you again next month.